Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. I know it's a long weekend, but it's good to not to be alone. So it's nice to see some new faces. I see we need some extra chairs. That's always good. My name is Jaco Jansen van Rensburg. For those of you that don't know me, I'm married to Lee. I've got two boys, Gustav and Samuel. Okay, the one is 2.5 years old, and the other one is 8 months. And they keep us busy, change us our lives a bit. It's a little bit, you know, you learn about dying to yourself and your own desires and everything, because you've got children in the house. It's a privilege to share with you a word tonight. Just for me, it's almost a weekend of comebacks. I've preached a long time ago, and I also ran a half marathon a long time ago. So yesterday I ran the Two Oceans half marathon. I can still feel it. I'm glad I'm standing here, not there. Some steps. So it was great. And tonight I just want to share about some of the characteristics of God. I'm just going to highlight a few things. But things that also, it stands out for me in my life. I'm going to share a few stories. Some of you might have heard it before. But I really trust that there will be something for you specific that will change your life. Something that will touch you and that you will just know that is God speaking to me. And I also, I don't know if my title, it's for you and you and you and you and you alone. Okay. For everyone, for each one alone. I just want to trust that I'll just share something of the heart of God for you and you alone. And just before I get to the characteristics, I just want to say something about a first-hand revelation. I can stand here and I can share a lot of things to you, and you will just hear it, and it's actually a second-hand revelation. It's like you hear a lot of things, but you only make it your own once you experience it and once you know that's real. For example, I can tell you the number one squash player of all the universities in South Africa. He can really play good squash. Okay, or you can be like me and you join Stellenbosch and you want to join the squash club and you don't realize when you put your name on the list that it's actually the list for the guys that want to play Marty's. And not the guys that want to join the squash club. So you get a phone call, and they say they want to play on Thursday, and I say, I'm ready. So I get there, and there comes a guy with a big bag and lots of rackets, and I see a number one, and there's a coach, and they invited a lot of other people, and they moved our game to the number one court. So, and I realize I'm in trouble. So then I ask him, I just bought my racket and played a few games with my friend, so I thought, I can play squash. But Lee, my wife, she said, I actually just thought maybe I can beat him. So maybe it was true. I thought then I'm the man if I can beat this guy. So I asked him if he wants to surf or I'm going to surf. So I've had a little arrow on my racket. And if you spin the racket, then the arrow points up. If you said it's going to point up, then you can surf first. And I come up with a lot of things like that, and he's just like, just surf. It's fine. And that was the last time I saw the ball. It was over. Nine love. Quick. Gone. So I know he can play good squash. I've experienced it. I stand in the corner the whole time and just walk. Okay, and that is for me now a first-hand revelation. I can tell you it's really good. Okay, so tonight I'm just going to share a few things about God and God's heart for us and a few characteristics of the Lord. But I also trust that you will get a first-hand revelation of each one of these things. And that it will really impact your life. And I'm just going to start out by you are important to God. Your dreams, your desires, whatever is on your heart, that's important to God. And sometimes we get lonely and we forget this simple truth. We just go on in life and suddenly we hit like a wall and we start doubting it. Am I really important to the Lord or to anyone? I'm just going to highlight quickly a few scriptures. This is Matthew 10:29-31. The Lord talked about the two sparrows. They say, but just the last, do not fear there, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Before that, it said, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, for nothing? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. So nothing will happen to us apart from our Father's will. And we are much more worth than these sparrows, like birds or anything. And I just want to remind us that God is keeping this whole universe intact and He's in control and we are important to the Lord. The same thing, Matthew 18:10-14. Talks about the shepherd with the sheep and the one sheep goes astray and then he just said he leaves the 99 and he goes and look for the one, for that one that went astray. I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, if it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And that little one is really just lost. It speaks about, it's not only little, but it's someone that went astray, someone that is lost, someone that's looking for answers. So it's not God's will that we must go astray. And the same from my own life, there was a time where I was just desperate for the Lord. Sometimes you get to, well, not sometimes, but you get to that place, you read the Word, and you see a lot of things happening in the Word, but you don't see it in your life. And you start thinking, what's happening? What's going on? It can't be, the Bible is true, but I'm living my life, and I don't experience the things that the Bible talked about. So I climbed up on a mountain and I stood there and I just cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, rock my life. That was my words. It's a bit scary, I think, now, but that's what I said that day. So I came down and two days or so after that, I met a guy from Shofar. I just heard he's from Shofar. And some of my friends were also visiting Shofar and they just knew a lot. And I thought, okay, maybe this will help me. So I asked him if they've got a cell group. He said, no, Wednesday, you can come. So that Wednesday I pitched in. It was only him, the cell leader, and me. And it was Kunrad Beyers, for those of you who know him. And I just walked through the door. And the first thing I said, he said, hello, I'm Kunrad. And have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? So it was a bit weird. But for me, it was the perfect thing. When I heard that, I just said, no, I don't know about it. What must you do? And he prayed for me, explained it to me, prayed for me. And I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And my life changed. And it changed dramatically. For those of you that know, if you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, power. And it was just a life-changing experience. But it was so special just to know that I stood on that mountain. Within a week, I would go to a cell group and I stand there and there's just two other guys there. And the first thing that he asked me is just, do you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but yeah, that's a great experience. And just a second one, God is not a respecter of persons. Because we often compare. You hear things, you see things happening in someone's life, think, yo, if I can just have some of that. If I can just experience the Lord in this way. If I can just see a vision or get some of that. But the Lord is not a respecter of persons. That's what those two verses are about. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. Daar's geen wit broodjies nie. It's got no favorites. No favorites. Romans 2:11. For there's no partiality with God. Each of us can receive the same blessings, the same love, the same grace, all those things. It's available for each one of us. And it's something that you must hold on to. Or that I do. I hold on to these things. Because it's so easy that the devil will come and he put thoughts in your mind and you're just doubting about the character of the Lord, or you just think, but why is that happening to that person? And why is it happening again and again? And what's wrong? Or then I can just come back to the word and say, there's no partiality of God. He's no respecter of persons. It's the same. I can still expect everything for myself. You're a little bit quiet. Always wanted to say that. The next one is just that also came out tonight is God loves you. God loves you. It's a simple statement, but so true. And that's what everything is about. And we heard it tonight and the word that came out. God loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. After that, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. And he takes pleasure in you. No matter what you think of yourself, no matter what's going on in your life, obviously we all have flaws, but still, God takes pleasure in his people. He takes pleasure in us. Psalm 35, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And it's with me and Gustav and Samuel, my boys. Obviously, they're naughty. I know that people are born in sin. It's true. You don't recognize it straight away. But after he starts breaking stuff and don't listen to you anymore and start to walk, then you know there's a lot of sin. Okay, and Gustav knows, he gets smacks. We call it smacks. When we take him to the room, he gets smacks for playing with the DVD player, smacks for playing with the plugs. I don't know why, but boys just love plugs. They want to just unplug and plug in cell phones. The girls, they don't seem to worry too much about that. But and even when he's so naughty, there's sometimes he really doesn't listen and he's very naughty. I still love him. I still love him. If I talk about him, I just think about these moments, the great moments, and when he was born and things that we did and the funny moments when we walked in the road and someone come past and they're running and Gustav will go, 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 go. And that's the same with how I cheered for him in the house and just those little things. It's so special. And yet he's so naughty. But I love him. And that doesn't matter if all these things that he's doing, I still love him. And so much more the Lord God for us. I just start to experience something of that love of God for us when I look at Gustav and Samuel. And it is obviously it becomes very real. Because now you can get a handle almost on it. A little bit. On unconditional love. Because that's really what it is. Unconditional love. Doesn't matter what we do, God still loves us. The next one. God is the God of the second chance. There's a lot of examples in scriptures with David and what they did, and then you see David again, the man of God, and Samson, how he messed up, and again he can ask God for strength, and God gives it to him. And same with Peter, where he denied the Lord, the one said to God, even say, Satan gets behind me. And when this morning in Tableview, also heard that, I just remember now, also where Peter was called, he was just no education, nothing, a fisherman, and God just called him. and God used him so powerfully. And then he messed up so badly, and again, we read about all the things that Peter did. And how I can relate to second chances more in a way of starting with engineering and then failing a few subjects and then driving up to Jonkershoek, sitting next to the road and crying and think my life is over because everything went bad. And I just sat there and I had a student loan. And my parents, they didn't have lots of money, so things didn't look good. So I just sit there next to the road, and I'm crying, and I just asked Lord, I don't know what you can do in this. This is a tough one, but please just help me. And then I started studying computer science. I finished it. A while later, somebody came, and they blessed me with the money for the student loan, for everything. Obviously, the part that I messed up, and then the part where I actually did the degree. So for me, it was just amazing. Came home one night, there's a note in my Bible, or a note on the door saying, look in the Bible, there's something there. And then it was just a check for everything. So then you walk to APSA and you tell them, this is the money. And they say, no, invest it. And no, I said, well, here it is. It's for the student loan. And things like that, where I just experienced that second chance. Obviously, it's basically salvation. That's a second chance. Well, maybe the first chance, but that's a chance that we have, that God has created everything, put everything in place for us to accept him, and again to get out of this bondage of sin and to experience life and life in abundance, where we can accept that and experience life. And again, it was for me when I gave my heart to the Lord, it was massive. It's just like, yeah, you'll know. It's another chance that we get, just to experience God in a whole new way, to have a relationship with him. And yeah, it's just amazing. So, also for us and for you tonight, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, there will always be another chance. There's always a chance that we can turn around and say, Lord, I choose you. Or just, God, help me. I'm in a big mess. I don't know what to do. I've messed up. And only you can get me out of here. And that's real. It's happening. And I know some of you, there's stuff going on in your life and it looks like a massive mountain to climb. And you don't know what to do. Maybe it's studies. I've been there. I know studies can really put a lot of stress on your life. But there's a God that's bigger than that. And I've trusted God for many breakthroughs in my life. And every time he's faithful. Every time. Another one is draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God, he wants to have relationship with us. James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And it is a thing that often, obviously when you've done a lot of sin and you don't feel good and you just don't want to go to God. And I've actually programmed myself that I just know I must just go back to the Lord, even if I don't feel like it, because I know that's going to save me. And that's going to get me out of the place where I am. It's one thing that, yeah, I think you can kind of brainwash yourself in a sense. And that's one of these, just go back to God. And if you don't feel like it, you don't want to do it, just do it. And also, okay, just a second scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart, with all your heart. You will seek me and you will find me. And it can be for a tough decision. It can be you looking for answers. You want to know, is this my wife? Is this my husband? Sometimes that can be very distracting. And then God is there for anything. And it's just, and He will speak to you in a specific way. He will speak to you in a way that you can recognize His voice. That you will know that's God. Because I've experienced that. For me, it's often I will just go again to the mountains or where I can be alone. And I'm just walking and I'm just talking to the Lord. Walking up and down, talking to the Lord. And suddenly something will just drop in my spirit. And I just know that's not my thought. I didn't think about this. Sometimes I didn't even pray about it. It might be something weird for me at that moment, but it's still the answer that for something in my life. Sometimes it's something that... Okay, let's give you another example. Or once I was praying, I was mostly praying for studies, for exams that I wanted to pass, because I was going to do a hiking competition. So I'm in there between the trees and just praying for these exams that's coming up, and now I must do the competition, so they moved my exams a little bit earlier, and that's not great. It's great when they move it a little bit away to the other side, not earlier. So now there's a little bit more pressure, and I'm walking, and suddenly I just feel in my spirit, we will win the competition. I'm thinking, where is this coming from? So, and then I think, yeah, it must be God. Or I think it is God talking to me. So I just keep the word with me and we go to the competition. So it's going well the first day, the second day, we're like in the top three. And last day, we like second or third on the rankings. And then I keep all the points and stuff till the prize giving. So you don't know actually if you've won or not. So the prize giving comes and they read out the names, third place, second place, first place, and there goes all the prizes. And we're still sitting there, and I think, no, something is wrong here. So I went to the organizers afterwards. And I told them that I think they made a mistake. They must just double check. So they said, okay. But now the people went home already, and they're a little bit annoyed with me that I want to waste their time now. So they got out the papers, and they got the papers from the first day, second day, and everything. They got everything together, and they start counting. So obviously I'm like, I want to know. And then they realized they actually missed 6 points. And we are the winners. So, and then they said, but now they can't go and call back the other guy, so they're gone. It's like, I said, well, I don't know what you're going to do, but you better correct this. But the thing that stood out for me is just that word. That word that I received, and I really believe that was God. Because it was in a sense that I could relate with it, and it was, I really, really believe that is God speaking to me. In the same way, you will also get words like that, even when you pray or in your quiet time, just something, or just walking every day, and just suddenly something drops in your spirit, and you just sense that is God speaking to me. And I just feel that some of you have received words like that, but that you must hold on to it. You must just hold on to it, because in the natural, it might not seem that it's going to come to pass. But if it's a word from God, that word will stand, and it's going to happen. And don't lose heart, just hold on to that word. The same with us when we were there. I was a bit confused, but I just know that was a word from God, and I believed it, and that's why I went and I found out. So obviously it was a great faith booster for me to start recognizing just God speaking to me. And then just we serve a good God. I've always seen that God is good all the time, but He's really good. And it's really something that you must believe, else, again, else you can get very confused when things are a little bit tougher than you thought it's going to be. You're struggling a little bit more. Again, it's something that I just hold on. God is a good God. It's not debatable. He's good. No matter what's happening to me, no matter what I see around me, I serve a good God. Psalm 25, good and upright is the Lord. And no one is good but one. That is God. And we often pray for people just to receive the favor of the Lord. And from my own life, I'm doing programming. So often I will write, well, not often, I write a lot of programs. But then I get stuck. And if I tried a lot of things, and then I think, yes, maybe I must just pray about this. And then it's like this. Boom. And I got my line of code, I put it in, and everything is just working. And I think, yeah, I must pray before I do this. It's so easy. The one, we quoted them a lot of hours of work. And we were at meetings and we decided this is how it's going to happen. And then I got really stuck and my boss was away on leave. And I thought, let's just pray about this problem. And the answer was very simple. It was a few lines, I think 3 or 4 lines. I actually were a bit embarrassed when we quoted the guy so a lot of money. And God just gave me just the answer and the solution. Simple. I would have never thought about it. Never. Then you know it is the Lord. Or you're on the phone with someone doing support, and you just think that maybe he will get this problem. So maybe I must just tell him he's going to get this problem. So again, just out of suddenly you just get this thought that this is going to happen on this machine. So start giving him the solution to his problem. And then he's telling me that, Yaku, he's starting to you're a bit scary now. Because I tell him that you're going to get this problem, and then he phones back and says, okay, you got it. And it worked, the solution. And then I just realized that it's not about us. It's just God working through us, and that favor of the Lord. And it can be can be anything. We're so quick to say that it's just a toeval. It's just toevallig het dit gebeur. It's by accident. I don't believe in stuff like that. It's God's favor on our lives. When I'm standing with my bike next to the N1, with a flat wheel, and I manage to get to the garage, and I want to get home, and someone walks up to me and says, just say, where are you going? I've got a big truck. Let's load your bike on the truck. Where do you live? Say in Brackenfell. Oh, I'm going that way. It's fine. I'll drop you at your house. Or yesterday at the 2 Oceans, I got there. It's a little bit late, and there's no parking. So I stood there in the queue, and I thought, I don't know what's going to, I will have to. And I'm at UCT, and the start is at Main Road, 2.5 kilometers away. So now I have to run to make it to run. And it's not great. That's not what you planned. And then suddenly a man is just standing there, and he's just waving for me, and he says, just come here. And I look, and I can't see any parking. So I just drove that way, and then he said, no, right in the back, in the corner, there's one left. And again, it's just the favor of the Lord. Just little things happening. But also, God is not a respecter of persons. It's the same for all of us. It's the same thing that will happen to all of us every day. And it is happening right now. Sometimes we must just recognize that it's actually the Lord opening doors or making a way or helping us. And then the last one is God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is really something, again, that I just hold onto with my whole life. that God is the same. He's faithful. He's opened doors for me. He's created opportunities at companies. Because when I got married and I designed my work, I told my father-in-law, because he was not happy that I resigned. But I told him that I'll get another job. Don't worry. Because I know that God opened the door for this one. God will open the door again. And I know that God will open the door again. So when I tried my outdoor shop, and it didn't go too well, I was there in my room again, and I was very depressed and crying and thought, no, everything is bad. And I don't know how I'm going to have the money to feed my wife and Gustav, because Samuel wasn't born yet. But I knew one thing, that I can trust God, and He's faithful. And I hold on to that. And that was my only thing that I could have held on to at that time, the faithfulness of the Lord. And so then it is great to read in the Bible that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to be like someone that's just going to drop us, or someone that's now, you say, it's fine, and then it's not fine. Or we can know God through the Word, and that's who He is. And we can have relationships with the Lord and know this is what we can expect of God. And this is what I want to encourage you with. Because each one of you will have received blessings from the Lord. Each one of us, we have things that we've received, or words that we've received, or just times we knew this is God touching me. And it's the same God. As we go into the future, it's the same God. It didn't change. We can still expect Him to bless us in the same way and even better. And that is really, just what I trust for you tonight, that you will just see all these things that I've mentioned, that it will become first-hand revelations. That you will know that this is God, and this is who He is. That He's a good God. That you will realize it in your life, that He is really good. That He's a God of the second chance. Or He's a God that gives me a chance to be saved. That I can give my life to Him. I can trust everything into God's hands. That I can wake up in the morning and know that I'm actually important to the Lord. That my dreams and my desires is on His heart. He's looking out for me. You can expect the favor of the Lord in your life. All these things. That it just become first-hand revelations. You will know that you know that you know. That's who God is. And tonight I just want us to have communion. The ushers can please get it so long. And I just want you to think about just the goodness of God. The things that you've experienced in your life already. And also God knows about your dreams, your desires, the secret things, everything about you. Sometimes there's things that you don't want to tell anyone about. God knows about it. Might be a little bit scary, but it's fine. He knows about it, and He cares about you, and you are important to the Lord. And I just want us to...